I'm on a train back to Budapest. I'll be going to our college and spending the morning there with the teachers. Nice program in Szeged last night. Szeged is probably the southernmost city of Hungary, and it's across from the Serbian border. We've had a preaching center there for a long time. Right now it's manned by our congregation members, and I've been encouraging them to open a restaurant. I don't really know what it's called in English in Hungary, and it's called Mensa. It means that not a restaurant in which the public just come and go, but it's sort of a more unofficial canteen type thing where devotees, congregation members, friends, and other people come. We have a very nice facility there. It's about 120 square meter. Used to be a dance school, so you can imagine it's big open space. And very well situated in our Debrecen Center. I may have mentioned that there's three devotees who run a similar canteen, and there's 120 people eating there on a daily basis. They maintain themselves as well as they save money in addition to reinvesting back into the canteen itself, and they're not even that well located in terms of the city, and the city itself is quite a conservative place. So this was actually Srila Prabhupada's desire, that we open more restaurants and reading rooms, as he called it, as opposed to temples. And certainly in Hungary, in addition to the Budapest temple and New Brajadam, there are another few quote-unquote temples, although they're not in their own owned properties, and we haven't got any installed deities there. But they're working on that basis. Sankirtan devotees are going out, Sunday program, preaching, doing festivals, Harinam, and making devotees, getting devotees to join. The vision for further cities, and perhaps even for some of these in the future, is simply to have a congregation-based preaching center, which is like this, a canteen, restaurant, reading room that can maintain devotees, grihastha devotees, because that's very important, that devotees are able to work together. And simultaneously, there can be a reading room, temple room, where these devotees can also have a morning program, evening program, Sunday programs, special programs, and the guests who come, they can also sit there, read, watch videos, and get tuned into what Krishna consciousness is all about. And if some devotees want to join, someone wants to become a brahmachari or brahmacharini, then they have to go to one of the other temples that accommodates that. Not that just because someone wants to join in a particular temple or center, then we're going to make that into a standard temple, which means that we have to inaugurate the standard Brahmachari Ashram, Brahmachari Ashram, and all the other institutional things that go along with that, that are temporary for many of the devotees because they ultimately end up in the Grihastha Ashram, and doesn't also provide a basis for maintaining the householder devotees once they pass through that Brahmachari or Grihastha Ashram. So rather start with a financial basis, and if either Brahmacharis or Grihasthas want to become full-time preachers, then they either participate in the canteen or the local activities of the canteen, or they move to New Bajudan or Budapest. It's going to be the anniversary of Srila Prabhupada founding ISKCON 40 years ago. It's a long, long time. I think most of you who are listening are not in your 40s, and some of us are unfortunately beyond our 40s. And the only thing that was fortunate to be over 40 is that we were present on the planet when Srila Prabhupada was here, and we had the good fortune to meet Srila Prabhupada. That was definitely good fortune. But just to sort of set the mood for that, give you some things to think about, I want to read a poem that Srila Prabhupada had wrote. After Srila Prabhupada had arrived in America, a disciple discovered a diary that Prabhupada had kept during the passage from India on the Jaladuta. And inside that diary was a poem which was handwritten by Srila Prabhupada in Bengali. This poem was written by Prabhupada on board after he had just arrived in Boston Harbor, and it really captures Prabhupada's impression of Western civilization and Prabhupada's mood and his determination of making a change. He wanted to change America, he wanted to change the world, he wanted to change the way people think and behave with Krishna consciousness. And as I read this poem, you can meditate on Srila Prabhupada, on Srila Prabhupada's mood, and what it was that Srila Prabhupada really wanted us, as people who had come in contact with him and his teachings, to imbibe. See if your tadatma, see if you're lined up with Srila Prabhupada's desires and spirit of spreading Krishna consciousness that is expressed here, and try to imagine that Prabhupada has left India. He's never been outside of India. He's gone aboard this rickety old boat. This is not some kind of luxury steamliner. It's not an airplane. And Srila Prabhupada doesn't have any disciples. He doesn't know anyone. He's just going with a few crates of books and some granola that he's taking with himself. Otherwise, he has really no possessions. 40 rupees. 40 rupees is nothing. I could say peanuts, but you couldn't even buy much peanuts with 40 rupees. This is really called depending on Krishna. And even though Srila Prabhupada has nothing, still, he's thinking about changing the world. He's thinking big. He's determined. He has faith. And he's not waiting for material facilities to facilitate his mission. That's obvious. How many things do we need to be in place before we even have the courage to put on a dhoti and tilak or a sari when we walk outside the door? Even then, we're dressed in karmi clothes. I don't speak for myself, but unfortunately I speak for many others. Srila Prabhupada was in his devotional clothes with tilak and a world that had never ever seen a Vaishnava before. So now let's hear what it is that Srila Prabhupada, sitting by his window on this ship, he hasn't really set foot in America yet. He's just seeing it from a distance. He's feeling it as a pure devotee, a Mahabhagata, a eternally liberated associate of the Lord can. who has been for 69 years waiting for this time. Prabhupada came to this world for this purpose, and now it's about to happen. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here, otherwise why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it, but I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible, because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of the Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation, and if a sober person repeatedly receives them with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is practically destroyed, and loving service unto the glorious Lord, whose praise with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. At the time loving service is established in the heart, the modes of passion and ignorance and lust and desire disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes happy. Thus established in the mode of goodness, the man rejuvenated by loving service to the Lord gains liberation from material association and comes to know scientifically of the personality of Godhead. Thus the knots of the heart and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees oneself as the master. Srila Prabhupada now continues. He will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or a failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message, so if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I'm sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I'm just like a puppet in your hands. So if you brought me here to dance, then make me dance, make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge. But I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate and significant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, United States, dated 18th of September, 1965. Such a wonderful poem. It's the wonder of Srila Prabhupada who brought Krishna consciousness to us, without which really we would be drowning in the horrible materialistic condition in which non-devotees find themselves in. We should always think what it is that we can do to repay Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada had said that preach vigorously like me. to preach like Srila Prabhupada we may not be able to do, but at least daily, regularly, at least weekly, we should do some preaching. We should give Krishna consciousness to non-devotees. It's a fact that to speak to devotees is also preaching, but that's going on. But what is not going on as much as it should be, as much as it could be, is talking to non-devotees. So whoever you are, wherever you are, just make it your vow that whenever the opportunity arises, and if there are no opportunities, then make opportunities, and go out and just tell someone about Krishna. Tell them to chant Hare Krishna. Explain to them how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful devotional service is, and that will really make you part of ISKCON. Incorporation of ISKCON as an institution took place 40 years ago, and of course there's the official aspect of being part of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But ultimately, ISKCON means giving Krishna consciousness to others in the way that Srila Prabhupada did, and connecting them to Srila Prabhupada's teachings and the institution that Prabhupada set up. While we're doing that, we're part of ISKCON. So let's not neglect to do that, whether we're grihasthas or brahmacharis, whether we are males or females, whether we are children or elderly. Prabhupada was elderly. Anyway, he sacrificed everything for us. We should therefore sacrifice a little for him. Hare Krishna.